You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ermil. We're almost a week since the regular season was suspended, but I'm still here to talk about basketball and, of course, about the Miami Heat. I'm going to get into the most interesting things that Jimmy Butler talked about in a recent podcast with former Sixers teammate J.J. Redick, as well as some potential free agency options for the Heat. But first, just the latest news around the league. A few major updates, at least from what I saw. The league is lifting its ban on letting players travel outside of their team's respective markets, just as I mentioned last week when that was first proposed by the league. It's simply too difficult to enforce, and players aren't necessarily tied to just one geographical area anymore, especially with family potentially scattered around the country. As long as players are doing what they can to practice social distancing, as well as avoiding unnecessary contact with people, it should be perfectly fine. The league is still mandating that players check in regularly with team health officials to monitor any potential symptoms or concerns. So it's just kind of an extension of what everyone is asking from people in society in general, is just to avoid unnecessary contact, don't leave the house unless absolutely necessary, and from players, just, you know, kind of do what they normally do, but in a very tightly enclosed surroundings without any kind of unnecessary contact. It's pretty standard, pretty self-explanatory, and hopefully it's something that players will be following. We have not heard of any kind of updates regarding any other players testing positively, whether there just hasn't been widespread testing or whether or not anyone hasn't tested positively. We're not sure, but either way, no news is good news at this point. So hopefully there's going to be more of a positive upward trend in this regard. The league has also passed instructions to teams who are opening up their training facilities to players, specifically to make sure that they check the temperature of any player using the facility, or anybody entering the facility, really. People waiting to have their temperatures checked should be well apart from another, of course, 6 to 8 feet. And if they have their temperatures anywhere over 100.7 degrees, I believe, they have to leave the facility immediately pending any kind of additional testing. So I guess reading into this, this is the league saying, look, players are bored. If you've been following Bam Adebayo on Twitter, he is losing his freaking mind. He is stuck at home and a little bored and somewhat restless, as I imagine a number of players are. Conversely, if you go to Jimmy Butler's Instagram feed, he's home and training and doing what he does normally, waking up early, lifting weights, stretching, doing all sorts of things. So there's only so much of that you can do, and I imagine for younger players, it's probably more difficult. You're just a little bit more restless and maybe not as well established, and it's tough to see them being able to just stay at home for a prolonged period of time, just like it is for everybody. And so if they're going to be going to the team's facilities for practice sessions or to get a little, you know, trainer work in or something along those lines, some stretching, massage, etc., at least everybody's getting tested to make sure that there is a limiting of any potential spreading of the coronavirus. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski is also reporting that a third call between the league office and team owners and governors will take place on Tuesday afternoon, the third of its kind since last Wednesday. Of course, that was the day when initially it was discussed that games might be played in front of in arenas with no fans. And then, of course, later on that evening, after Rudy Gobert tested positively, the league was suspended, or the regular season was suspended. So while Woj didn't specify what would be discussed in that call, I would imagine it's probably just to reassess where everyone is, not just teams in general, but society, the healthcare situation for society in general. Those kinds of things will likely be discussed. You know, the latest updates and projections about the virus, how quickly it's spreading, whether or not you see any kind of trends in limiting that spread, things of that sort. I wouldn't expect that there'll be any kind of overly positive news, considering what we're hearing about from news reports all over the world. But also, they're going to be looking at a loss of income, or projections regarding the loss of income regarding this season, the end of the regular season and the playoffs. And they perhaps could be discussing options regarding if the season will be canceled completely. That is an option. I know a lot of you remain optimistic, as do I, about the fact that the potential option for the regular season to be continued at some point, whether it's in June or maybe a month or two. Who knows? But there's also the possibility of just jumping straight into the postseason, in which case, again, Miami would be the fourth seed moving forward. But there's also the very realistic possibility that the season could be canceled outright. Now, I've also seen a radical kind of calendar being developed, a schedule of you, if you will, where, let's say, postseason play begins in mid-June, early July, somewhere around that time period. Everything takes place at a very accelerated point where you have the postseason, a truncated version of it, where maybe it's a 3-5 series as opposed to a 4-7 series. The NBA draft takes place immediately afterwards. Maybe you have some kind of version of summer league taking place in a secured facility somewhere, because I think Las Vegas is simply too unwieldy and you can't have thousands of fans visiting whatever rookies or players are going to be attending this summer league action. So it would probably be more fall league at this point anyway. And then maybe even pushing training camp into November and beginning the season, the regular season, the 2021 regular season, closer to Christmas, which is something that I talked about with Wes Goldberg on Locked On NBA today, because I didn't know that was a possibility. I didn't know anybody had been actively pushing for a Christmas Day start, because, I mean, I've seen people believe that Christmas Day is when the regular season, quote-unquote, actually starts, when people kind of tend to tune into the NBA a little bit more because the NFL is dying down a little bit or gearing up towards the playoffs and things of that sort. To me, I don't watch football, so it's been years since I've watched an NFL game, and I've kind of removed myself from that kind of conceit or belief that the NFL and NBA are conflicting with one another. But I could see that from a fan's perspective. You're invested in college football, you're invested in the NFL, and then you kind of just don't watch the NBA as much until perhaps around Christmas time. So from the league's perspective, maybe they change the schedule. Instead of beginning around Halloween or mid-October, you begin the season around Christmas and you start getting everybody's attention. And then the season, the regular season, would end around the same time it does now, maybe even late June. That's a pretty short season. So you're not allowing for many days in between games. You're not allowing for a lot of space there. There'll probably be more back-to-backs, something that I thought they were trying to avoid. So I'm not sure how realistic a schedule that is. Like I said, it's pretty radical, and we're not sure if that's actually going to be something that's incorporated at any point, but I'm just putting it out there for everybody to consider. Lastly, the league is doing away with any kind of drug testing during the imposed suspension, a move that makes a lot of sense as players will have significant downtime and will likely be recreationally enjoying some cannabis-related products. Times are weird. Times are stressful. Players can't leave their houses. They're going to play video games, get high, and order takeout. It just makes sense. I know a lot of people that age are probably doing the same thing, so it's the right move by the league. It doesn't make any sense to kind of jeopardize a player's income risk getting into any kind of league drug programs or things of that sort if they're just going to be getting high during the next 30, 60, 90 days, however long the suspension takes place. So enjoy it. Smoke up if you got it. Before wrapping up the segment, I just want to say that after putting out the call on yesterday's show for ideas to help keep the podcast as entertaining as possible as we wait for basketball to hopefully be played sometime in the future, some of you did an incredible job of emailing me some ideas that were just absolutely incredible. Whether it's a deep dive in Heat history or a breakdown of a specific game or a specific play, the ideas were so good. Thank you so much for taking the time to write those in. And if you haven't done so, but you do have a suggestion during what will probably be a long break from live action, make sure you send them in via email or Twitter. The Miami Herald wrote about some options for Miami in free agency. I'll break them down for you in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Jimmy Butler is always interesting, and I'll get into why in the next segment. But first, I wanted to get into this article from Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. It actually came out over the weekend, so it's been a few days as we're kind of just obviously navigating around the news regarding the coronavirus and the league and how we're potentially moving forward. But in Barry's article, he did mention some options regarding free agency, specifically the fact that, regardless of whether the season continues or doesn't, we're not sure exactly how it'll play out, obviously. But once next season begins, assuming that it does, the Heat are posed to have a significant amount of salary cap space there. They have a number of impending free agents, including Goran Dragic, Jay Crowder, Derek Jones Jr., and Myers Leonard. They're all free agents, unrestricted as such, and who knows if Miami has any intention of re-signing them to any kind of deals. There's going to be cap space, but obviously with 2021 and the potential of adding a Gianni Antetokounmpo or a Brad Beal or Victor Oladipo or somebody else along those lines, Miami wants to keep its flexibility and options open. So that makes a lot of sense. But one of the things that Jackson suggested was that an associate close to Goran Dragic has suggested that the Heat will offer a one-year balloon deal somewhere in the vicinity of $19 million to keep Goran under contract next season during what could be a shortened version of the 2021 season, and then try to re-sign him the following year, 21-22. The number is, again, somewhere around $19 million, a pretty hefty amount. And something that Barry mentions is that the Heat, as I've mentioned before, they value Goran, his contributions, his professionalism, and what he does do well off the bench, which is provide some key scoring and leadership. And Jimmy Butler and Goran are, they're friendly with one another. I think Jimmy respects Goran's tenacity and his kind of spark, his feistiness, if you will. And so that's a big plus, knowing that Jimmy is, the team's star, the team's leader in many ways, and kind of gravitates towards Goran. That's a good way for him to good way for Goran to ingratiate himself even further with the franchise. And so, when asked about it during the last game of the season, Goran said, "We'll see. A lot of different factors, my family, myself. I would say it's too soon to talk about it. I'm not thinking about my next contract. I've always been a guy in the present." He also adds that he's happy, that he's enjoying the game. At the start of the season, it was tough for him to accept the coming off the bench, that he's a competitive guy. He adds, "Of course, when you get the news, you have some doubts, some crazy thoughts. But the main thing for me was to accept it, think positively, and get the best scenario for me. I did that, and I'm proud of myself." So Goran acknowledges how difficult it's been for him to kind of adjust to coming off the bench. He's done a phenomenal job. I think I mentioned a number of times over the course of the season that Goran's offensive spark has been one of the key factors for Miami's success. I've talked about it for years, to be honest with you. And I know it sounds like I'm tooting my own horn here, but I always thought that Goran, with his professionalism, with his attitude, and the fact that he is a little older and maybe not as staunch a defender as he was earlier. I mean, there's always been questions about his defense. He's slipped a little bit in that regard this season. But either way, the point is that at his age, coming off of knee surgery and ongoing knee issues, that it was probably good for him to consider a role off the bench. And that was the role he moved into this year. And I think it's made possible because of the team's depth, because of the growth of Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, and others. And so you can have Goran kind of slide into more of a reserve role, although he does close out games and he's a big factor for Miami offensively, especially. So, as far as the proposed deal, I will say that Jackson is kind of, he's stretching a lot here. I'm not sure who the associate is. I'm not sure if it's an agent, and I don't want to question Barry's sources outright or anything like that, because obviously he is very plugged into the sports landscape here in South Florida. But I'm not sure if that's an accurate number. And even if it is, though, is it the right move? And I think that's the bigger question, is should Miami offer that kind of large balloon sum to Goran Dragic this season? And I'll be honest with you, I kind of tend to think it's a good idea. I know that I am personally a fan of Goran Dragic's. I like his game. I like his impact in the locker room, and I like his professionalism in dealing with media. So I personally do like the idea. I know it also is a difficult one to make because you're restricting your ability to sign other free agents like Leonard, like Jay Crowder, like Derek Jones Jr. There is the possibility of signing all those guys to one-year deals, or maybe signing Derek Jones Jr. to a very limited deal, maybe, as Barry Jackson suggests, $6 million a year for 1 or 2 years, and that'll still keep any kind of flexibility for the following season. If you strike out on Adetokounmpo or Oladipo, then you can sign them to long-term deals. But that's just doesn't seem realistic. Guys like Crowder and Goran even, they're not looking for one-year deals. I think for Goran in particular, he's probably looking at more of a long-term deal. He's older, and I mean, $19 million is a lot. But you're kind of investing all of your money into Goran then. You're giving up the potential of signing Myers-Leonard and Jay Crowder and Derek Jones Jr. if you're going to invest completely in an older version of Goran Dragic. And that does seem to be the way this team has operated for a long time, especially with Pat Riley there. You want to make good on the guys that kind of buy in, who have been typical Heat culturalists. And I think Goran is certainly one of those, even if he's kind of not necessarily viewed as such. Maybe he's not necessarily as appreciated around by fans because of his limitations or things of that sort. He is absolutely a Heat culture guy. The franchise loves him, and they kind of want to continue having him here for as long as possible, making sure that he retires with the franchise and things of that sort. But I think the positives of signing him are you get to keep Goran for another year, and then you could then re-sign him the following season if you get Adetokounmpo or anybody else. And you can sign him to a 2-3 year deal at significantly less, because he's gotten his payday and it still keeps him as part of the family for a long time. That's the view from the franchise. It might make sense, but for Goran, there's also a significant risk. What if he plays next year, collects his $19 million, and then gets hurt? Do you want to give up the safety and security of a long-term deal? What is it that Goran could potentially get as a free agent if he tests the market? Could he get a 4-year deal for significantly more than $19 million? Not 19 per, but $19 million, period. I'm not sure. If he enters the free agency market right now, he would probably look to get a 3-year deal, maybe at $10 million per, $30 million. That seems realistic, maybe with a team option for the third year, maybe a player option for that third year, although probably a team option. At least that's what most teams would suggest. If that was the case, he would collect at the very least that $20 million and potentially another $10 million at the end of that deal if the team opts in. If he signs the $19 million with Miami and then signs another 2-year, $10 million deal, it's roughly the same amount. And he'll cash in. He'll be able to get all $30 million. And that's something to say, that at age 33, you can collect an additional $30 million on top of everything that you've collected over the course of your career. That's a nice chunk of change. I think a lot of that will have to do with how his family feels. He's brought over family members from Slovenia before. He's comfortable in Miami. He knows the trainers. He knows the system here. My feeling is that he'll take whatever deal Miami offers him. Not that they want to lowball him, because that's just not the way they do things, or that's not the way they operate. Although, of course, they operated that way with Dwayne Wade. But I think they want to be fair. I would imagine that $19 million is probably a little high. I think it's also the way of this associate kind of using Barry Jackson as a mouthpiece and saying that's what Goran is looking for, that's what Goran is expecting. I don't think that Miami will offer that much. I think it would be 1 year, $15 million at most, and then potentially another, like I said, 2-year, 3-year deal at $5 million per, with that third year being kind of a team option, so you have some control if Goran is significantly less of a player by that time, that third year rolls around, and he's no longer a viable option as far as offense or anything is concerned. Yeah, he'll be 37. I don't think you necessarily want to sign Goran Dragic for the next 4 years. So it'll give him some money. It'll give him some control, and it'll keep him happy and keep him and his wife and his kids happy. They're at the point now where they're going to school and they're going to get older. They're Miamians, for better or for worse. So for all the for all his traveling, for all his international roots and everything else like that, you just don't want to pull a family out of a comfortable situation. His wife Maja is very happy here. I can't imagine him looking to cash in elsewhere. If he gets a fair deal from Miami, whether it's a 1-year balloon deal and a promise of another one, my feeling is that he'll accept it, because I think he does like Miami. I think he does like to stay. He doesn't want to feel disrespected. I don't think he wants to go elsewhere, and there's the potential of winning a championship here. Not this year, perhaps, but the next and the following year after that. You've got a good young core. You can stay here and comfortable in your role. You can do what you do. You can be competitive. There's a mutual respect between him and Eric Spoelstra. So I like the deal. I know a lot of people are critical of it. It just seems like you're throwing a lot of money at an older player, but to me, it makes a lot of sense to keep going there, because he's valuable for other people. you see the fact that you're giving a lot of money to an older player and you're sacrificing the potential to sign a younger player. Is there enough potential in a Derrick Jones Jr. there to invest in and potentially give up by choosing to sign Goran Dragic instead? I don't know. I like what Derrick Jones Jr. can do. I like Derrick Jones Jr. as a person. But at the same time, I think you could probably find another wing player. You've got KZ Okpala, who's arguably more talented than Derrick Jones Jr. So I don't know that it's seen as that big a sacrifice. It's somewhat cold to kind of reassess players this way and to say, well, Derrick is a fine player, better than KZ Okpala is now, but not as good as KZ Okpala could be in a couple years. And you make that sacrifice by saying, see you later, Derrick. Good luck and find your money elsewhere. So if the season ends today, there's a good chance that we might have seen the last of Derrick Jones Jr. in a Heat uniform. That's just the realistic option there. So let me know what you think. If you disagree, if you think we should keep Derrick Jones Jr. and the rest of those free agents, Myers, Jay, etc., instead of Goran Dragic, let me know, because I'm curious to see what most people think. I've seen good things and bad things, critical and you know, optimistic about the potential contract situation. So J.J. Redick had some really interesting things to say about Heat culture. I'll get into those in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review, especially if it's a good one. So I kind of wanted to get into something that I found interesting, especially during these temporary doldrums, or hopefully temporary doldrums. I listened to the J.J. Redick podcast the other day, and one of their guests on the podcast was none other than a former Philadelphia 76ers teammate, Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy was, as you can imagine, frank and open about everything, about his life, about the way he trains, about his interests off the court, and about the Heat franchise. And I think JJ, as a current player and athlete, I think he does a fantastic job of broaching a lot of subjects. He is very good and polished at bringing up a number of these subjects. And it's unfortunate. I actually have never had the opportunity to speak to JJ directly other than one time in Orlando, and that was a very, very short interview. But he is probably one of the more interesting players in the league as far as his overall perspective and the kind of nuanced approach he brings to life in sport and life outside of it, you know, how you kind of marry those two different lives together. He talks about his life, you know, choosing free agency and free agency destinations. He talks about what it's like to be a veteran in this league. He talks about food choices and the things that he likes to eat at, you know, 30 NBA cities around the league. And so with Jimmy on the show, he talked a lot about Heat culture. And Jimmy had some very interesting things to say about it. First and foremost, he did say that he was, you know, JJ mentioned that Jimmy looks very, very happy as a Heat player. And Jimmy said he is. And I think that speaks volumes there, because this is an intimate relationship of a former teammate, of a former friend. JJ, even though they only played the 1 year together in Philadelphia, he knows what Jimmy's like. They kind of both reminisce a little bit about the dysfunction of in the Philadelphia locker room and in the Philadelphia front office. It was kind of endearing to see that Redick knows who Butler is pretty well. It was like, look, I see that you're happy, and I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. And Butler, you know, was very glad to hear that, because he actually is happy. He does enjoy this. And he talked about Heat culture, and Redick did a very good job of kind of probing and seeing if the Heat culture that we hear so much about is a realistic thing, if it's something that is as, you know, as advertised. And Jimmy said it absolutely is. One of the things that I never got to mention or never got to play for you all in that interview I did with Solomon Hill last week, right before the season ended, was something very interesting that he mentioned, that when he thinks about this franchise, one of the things that he's seen is that it is a family environment, that I think he specifically worded it, that unless you've been part of this franchise for like 10 years, it almost feels like you're new to it in some ways, because there have been so many people here who have been so much a part of this franchise for such a long time, ever since Pat Riley took over in 1995. And I think that's just the way it's kind of translated into this. You know, we've been here for so long, we know the culture, it's a very tight-knit group, and that translates to the players as well. And Jimmy kind of spoke of it. It's the little things, and the fact that everybody shows up to the plane in Heat gear. I didn't know this, to be honest with you. And it's a nice touch, and as far as it keeps everybody organized, it keeps everybody in line. It's kind of like the argument for and against school uniforms. I'm not sure if any of you have kids and you know about this argument, but it's been something that was discussed at least years ago before it became much more widely accepted. Kids wanted their own freedom, their opportunity to kind of dress however they wanted to. Then when uniforms were projected or expected of people to wear, it kind of became obvious, well, they're not wasting as much time or using as much time to pick out what their clothes are, so they could be, you know, kind of time consuming. Instead, you know what you're going to wear the next day. And so for parents, it was a lot easier. I wonder if it's kind of similar. It's like, you know what, don't worry about this. It's not about your individual brand or your individual style. And it's not like the Heat doesn't give players plenty of opportunity to show off their individual style. Speaking of which, you know, one of the players that Jimmy spoke of most highly was none other than Tyler Hero, the rookie. He called him swaggy as hell. He also called him, kind of like J.J. Redick, a black-white guy, meaning that he's got some real interesting style. And that was pretty interesting to see how much he's taken to Tyler. And a lot of what he mentioned regarding Tyler Hero was that he has his own sense of style. He doesn't give a damn about how other people think about it. And it just works so well. And that's kind of what we've seen from Tyler on the court as well. He just does his thing, and he does it confidently as hell. And it's very obvious and very noticeable there. He also talked about the Heat's underdog mentality, that a lot of the guys that are on this team right now weren't drafted particularly high. Butler himself was a late first-round pick. Bam was a mid-lottery pick, as of Tyler Hero. But even Bam has a lot of shit to prove, in Jimmy's words. Guys like that, they have that chip on their shoulder. And so that's worked very well for them to kind of have to prove themselves. And I think one of the things that I always found it interesting was that, you know, you had guys like that before too. A guy like Josh Richardson, you know, he was not a high draft pick, obviously. And so he had a lot to prove. He just might not have been as ultimately talented, or he might not have had the alpha personality like Jimmy to kind of follow along with. And so this has just been something that Heat have done very, very well for a long time, was to find guys that have something to prove, that they're projects, that they need something, that they need to develop a little bit and kind of become the player they're supposed to be here. He also confirmed a lot of what I've seen Eric Spoelstra say a whole hell of a lot of, which is that this franchise is not for everybody, that you have to have a certain style and approach to the game, to training, to want to be told what to do. A lot of players, that kind of rubs them the wrong way, to be honest with you. And I can understand that. I don't know that if I was a player, I would want to play for an organization like the Miami Heat. But that's not to say that there aren't some players that it does appeal to. Jimmy's one of them. He said so. He says, I love that militant shit. I love keeping everybody in line, that there's an organizational pattern there that I need to follow. It keeps me from having to kind of think too much about anything else. And I think that's the appeal, is that you don't have to worry about too much other shit because this team has it in control for you. Now, that's appealing to some. Again, to some others it might not be, but it is to Jimmy. He also talked about a very happy locker room there. There was a really good connection. And I think he also talked about Udonis Haslam. There was a segment there where they were kind of jokingly going into the players that you don't want to find in the back alley. Interestingly enough, number one was James Johnson, his former teammate, and now obviously with the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is just one guy you do not want to mess with because he will kick your ass. I think we all knew that pretty well. UD's also was up there for Jimmy Butler just because he's old school and just keeps himself, you know, in great shape and does everything the way he has always done it throughout his whole career. So I thought it was a very interesting perspective, great podcast. I don't often recommend that you listen to other people's shows, but this was a very good opportunity to kind of see the way Jimmy Butler thinks, the way he approaches it, and to see it in a much more relaxed setting. So if you've got some time, you probably do, if there's no active games taking place, go and check it out. Why not? It's a good show, and it's fun. A lot of JJ's shows are pretty interesting, and there was another one the week before that I have not heard yet with New Orleans Pelicans point guard Drew Holiday. a potential target for the Miami Heat. So anyway, that's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com with some of your suggestions for the show. I'm David Vermil signing off and thanking you as always for your support.
Yeah! Wrap it up, B.